Pray for me, brother.
I pray for you.
And we sang, the Lord has been so good to me. I want to praise His name. Gives us every reason today to gather here at this place. And we come to give honor and praise and glory to the Lord who's been so wonderful and so abundantly good to each and every one of us. If I have any text at all today, it's centered around the 116th Psalm, which has been on my mind this weekend and continues to be. I'm going to try to control my voice a little bit today because I'm getting to where I'm losing it. And I hope and pray the Lord will just bless us to get over any physical hindrances. And most importantly, that He would clear our hearts and minds so that we'd be able to share the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. I'm thankful for the Bibles that are turning and for brethren following along because this is just such beautiful, wonderful language for God's little children that the Lord has left on record for us here in this 116th Psalm. The last verse, the very last phrase is, "Praise ye the Lord." And I think of that as being one of the major functions, one of the reasons we have a church here in this world, that the Lord's name might be praised. And when God's people come in a meeting house and praise the Lord, a whole lot of things happen that is good for God's children. God's little children are fed. You're encouraged. You're strengthened. You grow. You learn. But all of that is not something you do in order just for you to get something out of it. But our purpose for being here is to praise the Lord. And when we come to praise the Lord, you get more out of it than you could ever put into it. And I'm just so thankful the Lord's given us such a place. You can praise the Lord and ought to praise Him every day. We get up in the morning, we ought to praise Him. As that hymn said, in the morning, let me praise Thee in the morning, and at noontime, and in the evening, and every single day. But the Lord's church has been placed here in this world as a place where God's children come to gather together for the sole purpose of praising the Lord. That's the reason we've come today, is this is where we come to say, thank Thee, Lord. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done for me. It's where we learn about all He's done for us so that we can be more thankful. As we are in that mind, by the grace of God, we find a great joy and rest and peace that we return to as we think about the Lord. And in this trouble, a lot of times in this world is full of trouble. You don't have to go looking for it. You'll find it just by breathing and walking on the face of the planet. You'll find trouble, and this psalm does address that you will find trouble here in this world. But it's wonderful to know that amidst the trouble and sorrow that comes in this world, we have a rest that we can find as well, that we return to, that we need to return to. The church helps us do that as we come back by the grace of God and learn from His Word in the midst of sorrow and trouble that we face and find in this world. You will find rest that you can return to. And as you read this psalm, you'll see so many of these ideas laid out here. I believe this is a psalm of David. And as I read it, I think about so much of David's life, how that he was persecuted so greatly by King Saul, and in so many ways as he was called to be king, there were so many hindrances that stood in his way. As he stood as a young boy before a Goliath and stood at one defying the armies of the living God, and as was a little shepherd boy that was tending his father's sheep, and the bear came and the lion came. I don't know how you feel about that, but that'd be a lot of trouble. If I was somewhere I was in charge of something, and a bear and a lion would come, and you'd be sitting there with, you know, you're not sitting there with a rifle. But even by hand, handle that bear and that lion. You know, David didn't do that by himself. He knew that the Lord delivered him from the bear, and the Lord delivered him from the lion. And therefore he trusted that when Goliath came and stood and defied the armies of the living God, and there was a cause, David, by the grace of God, was prepared of the Lord for that battle, and the Lord allowed him to stand right there before that giant. Now, that wasn't just written so that we'd have something fun to read. It's written in God's Word so that you and I might know when you're confronted with the bear, and when you're confronted with the lion, and when you're confronted with the Goliath, and when your enemies rise up, as sure as God's people are in this world, those that are enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ will be the enemies of the Lord's people. And this friend, this world is not our friend to help us on to God. We're in an unfriendly world. It's wonderful to know that we have the same God, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And He's just the same today. And this psalm tells us that. This psalm tells us that this God who has not changed is there for us as we face the trouble and the sorrow that we're going to face in this world. Psalm 116, we'll read it. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell got hold upon me, I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly, I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. He says, I love the Lord. Oh, what a blessing that is today that we can express that in our heart. We sang that in our hymns. We express that to one another. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say, I love the Lord. And it's an amazing gift to be able to say, I love the Lord. If it were not for the grace of God, none of us would say from our hearts, we might say it in words, but none of us would say from our hearts, I love the Lord. Because by nature, none of us loved the Lord. We were not His friends, we were His enemies. We were not looking for the Lord when the Lord found us. We were as far away from Him as we could be. We were really in the dunghills of this earth when the Lord reached down from heaven and touched us and gave us life. And if we love the Lord today, we know from the Bible that the reason we love Him is because He first loved us. That's a very important principle for us to understand. Because if we get the idea, if I just love the Lord, He'll do something for me, then we have a reactionary God who's waiting on man to do something in order for him to be enabled to do something. And that's just simply not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is that God's love was placed upon us a long time ago, even before the very foundation of the world. God foreknew us. And those whom He foreknew, that word really embraces God's love. He knew you. He knew you in particular. He knew who you were. He knew what you would do. He knew the mess that you were in. He knew before you ever fell, before Adam ever fell, God knew that Adam would fall. And God had provided a sacrifice that was ready and in place, that He was going to send His only begotten Son to take care of the fall of Adam and also the needs of every one of His children even before the very foundation of the world. Now, a lot of people read that in the Bible, but not very many believe it. We not only ought to read it, we ought to believe it. God chose His people before the very foundation of the world. God didn't wait for us to make a choice of Him, for us to choose Him, because if He had of, none of us would have chosen Him, because none of us would have loved Him. I couldn't convince you enough, scare you enough, or cause you to believe enough. I couldn't get it plain enough. I couldn't say anything, nor could any other preacher say anything that would cause you. I might cause you to be afraid for a little while about something you had assumed it might be, but I couldn't keep you in a good place if it was not for the grace of God allowing you to see what you are by nature. You would never understand what a blessing it is that you have by grace. And it's the Lord who's giving you the ability to love Him. I believe in my heart, from what we've had in fellowship at this church, that you love the Lord. I believe it because I feel our love. I feel our fellowship. I feel that you love the brethren. You know the Bible says, you know that you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. And the reason you love the brethren is because you love the Lord. And you love the Lord and you love the brethren with the love God's given you. And love is a fruit of the Spirit along with all the other fruit of the Spirit. And you can't operate in the Spirit and you can't do anything until God first gives you that which you need to do it. That makes sense? You can't love the Lord unless the Lord gives you love to love Him with. You can't love the Lord's people unless the Lord gives you love to operate. You can't even believe in the Lord unless the Lord gives you faith. Faith is the gift of God. Faith is not something I can hand out or preach into you. It's something God does, and He does that somewhere in time for each and every one of His children. He gives them love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance and those fruit of the Spirit, all of them, not fruits, but fruit, many different manifold fruits of the Spirit are given by Almighty God. If you see one exhibiting those fruit, you see evidence that they're a tree, they're alive. You see the evidence of life. And loving the Lord is an evidence of life. Do you love the Lord? You might say, I love Him, but I ought to love Him more. I hope you feel that way. I love Him, but I ought to love Him more. And the Bible says if we love Him, we'll do what? We'll keep His commandments. Some would say, well, then if you just love Him, then you can do what you want to. But the Bible says if you love Him, you want to keep His commandments. Now, we got an old nature that wants to go the other way, that wants our thoughts. But thanks be to God, we have been born of the Spirit, made new creatures, given a love of God, a love of the Lord's people, and we desire, I believe today, you desire to walk better, talk better, act better, behave better, not so somebody will pat you on the back and say, what a good little child of God you are, but that somebody might say, what an amazing God that would transform a person like you into someone who would do certain things. I've seen some blessings this week. I've seen folks who are willing to give of their time, willing to give of their love and prayers and do anything they could for other brethren. And I'm telling you, that doesn't happen in this world from the heart in a way to please God outside of God's grace. It's God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when you see the evidence of that, we ought to do what the last verse says, praise the Lord. We ought to be praising the Lord. I want to praise Him more, don't you? I want to come to church more, stay longer, hear the preaching better. I want to sing better. I want to act better. I want to talk better. Not in order to get to be His child, because His grace has been sufficient to make me, who was so far away from Him, close to Him and near to Him. I have felt His touch. I have felt the hand of God hold us up. We are leaning on the everlasting arms. Isn't that good? The hand of God has lifted us up. And he says here, David found that same thing. He said, I love the Lord. Why did he love the Lord? He didn't love the Lord without reason. God loved us for that reason, in the sense other than he saw fit to, he chose to. Isn't that wonderful? God didn't wait for us to do something. While we were yet his enemies, Romans tells us, while we were yet his enemies, he died for the ungodly. While we were away from him, his love was manifested to us. Here in his love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his son to be the propitiation, that is the mercy seat, that is the answer for us for our sins. And that shows God's amazing, wonderful, beautiful love. And by the way, nothing can separate you from that love. Death didn't separate our dear sister from the love of God. She was carried out of this world by the love of God and the power of God. And she was immediately carried into the very presence of the Lord. And I'm telling you, if you and I could embrace a little bit what she's got in whole and in full right now, we'd be a happy people when we left this church. And I'm not saying we wouldn't cry. You can cry and be happy. Do you know that? The world doesn't think you can do that. You're either happy and laughing or you know, I've seen old Baptists cry. I've seen them laugh. I've seen them do the both things at the same time. Because that's the depth of God's love. He said, I love the Lord. Why? Because he hath heard my voice. Listen, he's heard our voice. I believe he heard our voice. I believe he's heard our voice today. I believe the Lord heard our singing and was pleased with it because it was covered in the blood of Jesus. I believe he heard the prayer that was offered. I believe he's answering those prayers. I believe the Lord hears us as we meet here to worship him. That's very important for us to remember when we're in the house of God. Remember, you're not alone. And not only is true here, it's wherever you go when you're riding up and down the road. When you and your husband or you and your wife are about to really go at it, remember, you're not all alone here. You know, you act a little different when folks are around. Some people act better when the preacher's around. Y'all have gotten too used to me. I don't have much impact. But I'll tell you what. We get a visitor here. I notice we do set up a little bit and do try to act and behave ourselves a little bit. And that's well and good. But I want us to remember that the most important visitor we ever have with us is always with us. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you remember that, it'll help you so, so very much. David would have us to know that today and realize that. By the grace of God and the mercy of God. By the way, David wouldn't be anything without the Lord who kept David who he was and made David who he was. As a matter of fact, David would be as empty. He was a man after the Lord's own heart. You know why? Because God made him that man, didn't he? And if you're anything or if I'm anything, it's because God's made us that. And does that mean we have something to be thankful for? We have more to be thankful for than we'll ever thank him. He says, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Supplications mean we beg. It's a beggar. Some people are too ashamed to beg. I don't want to be a beggar. That's one of the offenses of the gospel. God's little children are beggars. We come in and tell everybody we're poor and we're miserable and we're halt and we're maimed and we're blind. And if you didn't know the Lord that we serve, you'd get depressed when you hear us gathering and start talking about what we need to pray for. That bunch is in a lot of trouble. And it isn't getting better, is it? As we grow older, the list gets longer. Is your list getting longer? Mine is. The more people I know, the more I know about the needs that they have, the more I realize I don't know, and I have no clue what's coming tomorrow. But can I say this? The Lord that kept us last week will keep us today and keep us next week. It's grace that's brought us safe this far. It'll be his grace that leads us on. And David would have us know from his experience that God kept him. He kept him when the bear came. He kept him when the lion came. He grabbed that lion by the beard. I don't know how that would have looked, but I'd have loved to see it. I can kind of visualize it some. And then when he stood before Goliath, and Goliath laughed at him like the world laughs at us. He said, what am I, a dog that you're going to send a little boy? He didn't know what he's about to face. Giant was about to fall. He just thought he was everything. He was about to find out he was nothing. The reason he was nothing is not because David was some great warrior, though he was a great warrior. Listen, you didn't want to go against David in a battle. David was a warrior. He slew thousands, and I believe, and the Bible's very clear about that. But I'm telling you, David could not do anything without the power of Almighty God. You and I cannot do anything without the power of Almighty God. But with his power and by his strength, through Jesus Christ, which strengthens us, we can do what? all things through Christ which strengthens. And that means not everything you want, but everything you need. Don't we need a friend like that in this world? Listen, we don't even know what's coming today. We don't even know what the rest of the day is going to hold. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know any of those things, but our God knows. And not only does He know, it is in His hands. He is able to give us the strength we need, the wisdom we need. Whatever's coming, He is the answer for what that is. And we can take our troubled soul and return to rest. Don't you want to be in resting today? I've got to find some rest in this old world. And I'll tell you where I'll find it. I won't find it in the doctor's office. I won't find it at the nursing home. I won't find it at the hospital. I won't find it in my own home or in my own ability. But I'll tell you, when you turn to God's Word and you look to the Lord Jesus Christ and His teachings, He said this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." That's what you're doing right now. That's why these Bibles should be open and we should be learning from them, because we take His yoke upon us and we learn of Him. And He said, "And ye shall what? Find what? Rest." I need rest. It was wonderful to have something to share with those who'd lost a loved one. It would have been an empty thing if we were there with no good news. No cold water for a thirsty soul. Nothing but it's over and it's done. It would be an empty thing. But I'll tell you, it's a great blessing to be able to tell one about that hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not a wish in the word hope, the world looks at it like some wish. Listen, our hope is an anchor to our soul. It is sure and steadfast. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we're trusting in a Savior who cannot fail. Every one of His children that He loved before the foundation of the world, without the loss of a single one of them, they're as innumerable as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. They will be at home with Him, and everything that's necessary will be provided for them. And you and I, as God's little children, ought to be saying that over and over and over again, and then closing it with, "Praise ye the Lord." Listen, let's praise the Lord today. The Lord's been good to us. He says, "The sorrows of death compassed me." You think David felt some sorrows in his life? Absolutely. Sometimes we feel like we're the only ones who feel them, but God's children have them. "Just as sure as you're living in this world, you'll have a sorrows of death will surround you. And the pains of hell got a hold upon you. And you found," he said, "I found trouble and sorrows." A lot of people go looking for trouble. I used to look for trouble, and usually you'd find it when you would go looking for it. And most of the time it was more than you could handle, even though you thought maybe you could. But I'm telling you, you're going to find trouble in this world. Many people believe that if you're believing and trusting in the Lord, you will not have any more trouble. All your troubles are going to be over. But that's not what the Bible tells you. The Bible tells you, if any of you who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It says in this world we'll have what? Tribulation. But did it say be afraid? No. He said be of good cheer. You know why? Because one has overcome all of our troubles. Behold, I've overcome the world. He is our peace. We have in Him peace. And when we look to Him, we have exactly what we stand in need of. And that's our rest and our peace, our light, our strength. All that I could say about Him would not suffice. In Him is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All of that is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." Sometimes we feel like nobody knows what I'm going through. I'm telling you, I may not understand it. Your brother or your sister might not understand it. The church folks may not understand it, but you've got a friend in Jesus that knows all about this verse more than you and I ever knew about it. At Calvary, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and on the cross, He suffered like no man ever suffered. He endured the agony. His entire life, He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He knew what it was like to be hungry. He knew what it was like to be thirsty. He understood and does understand things, not only as God in that He knew all things, but He experienced it as a Son of Man and was in all points tempted like unto us. And as our high priest, we have a faithful high priest. So when you go to Jesus, you got someone who knows you and will hear your cry and your call and understand. He said, here, He said, "I found trouble and sorrow." We ask, We go through trouble and sorrow because we're in a sin-cursed earth and we're sinners. He went through trouble. No, he never sinned. The reason is there were sinners in need, and he came to meet their need. And in order to do that, he had to take upon himself a body of flesh and in all points suffer as we would suffer. And he paid that sin debt on the cross and removed it from us as far as the east is from the west. He said, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." Oh, if that bear was coming to us, we'd be saying, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I beseech thee, Lord, deliver my soul." The lion comes, we'd say, "Oh, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, help me." And the Lord did. When Goliath stands before us, we'd say, "Lord, help me." And he did. Saul came with his armies. Saul came to destroy him. The Lord kept him. And David wasn't like an adversary. He said when he had the opportunity to take Saul, he was merciful to the Lord's anointed. He wasn't going to do that. Didn't David act peculiar? You know why David was so peculiar? Because the Lord had purchased Brother David and had worked in him. And David, by the grace of God, worked out those things, worked in him. Now David didn't always do that. David messed up. David made mistakes. David had a horrible sin with Bathsheba and suffered greatly. Do you not think when he was in the midst of that suffering and feeling the weight of his sin, and do you not think this verse would apply to him when he felt that great weight of sin when he was found guilty? And remember, Nathan the prophet came and laid out that parable about the one who had one little sheep and another person had a herd, and how that one little sheep was taken. And David was so angry with that man, he said, "Oh, if I just give me that man, who is that man? Let me get him." And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." Have you felt the scripture at times when you're reading about that say to you, "Thou art the man"? You're the one. You're the one who sinned. You're the one who come short. And the sorry, as he says here, the pains of hell got hold upon him. And David wrote that 53rd Psalm. I believe it's the 53rd or 51st. I can't get it. Where he begged God to wash him and cleanse him because he had sinned and come short. And begged God for forgiveness. And oh, God was faithful. Because of his love for David, he was faithful to forgive him. And you know, that's wonderful to know today that our God, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And though we sin and mess up, we can turn and look to the Lord. And we find the forgiveness and the peace and the rest that we stand in need of. He said, "I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul." And oh, what a blessing it is just to get down on your knees and say, "Lord, help me." Sometimes we don't have the words. Sometimes it's just groanings. But God intercedes with hard groanings that can't be uttered. God, we don't know how to pray as we ought. He said, "The Lord preserveth the simple." You don't have to be so smart. That's good news for us, isn't it? You don't have to be. In other words, really, the smarter you get, the harder it's going to be in so many ways. This doesn't mean God's word. Listen, the wisdom that comes from God's word is better than the greatest wisdom of this world. Have you been blessed to see that? The high-minded intellectuals of this world come out with such ignorant statements. When you look at them in the light of God's word and the beauty of the Bible, you see how the wiser they get, the more blind they become and the more ignorant they sound. And a little child, just a little child, blessed by the grace of God with eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand, from the mouth of babes, wisdom is declared. And what a blessing it is. It is hidden from the wise and prudent, and it's revealed unto babes. And it seemed good in God's pleasure that they would be that way, so that we would not have a place to boast. We can't come today and say, "Well, I'm glad we got this. We were sure a lot smarter than everybody else." No, I'm telling you, this is evidence we're simple. Oh, it's wonderful to be. And who is it that can enter into the kingdom of heaven? It says, unless you be converted and become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom. And so, in order for us to enjoy this, we enjoy it with that simple, childlike faith of just believing God. Isn't it wonderful today to know that the world was made the way the Bible says it was made? By faith. I just know that's how it was made. Somebody said, "Well, that's foolish." No, that's simple. And unto the simple and unto the little babes, the greatest wisdom is declared. All the money that's being spent to figure out how this world got into being could be solved just by reading Genesis and believing what it says. Settled. And all that waste will not, and if you notice, men are not getting closer to it. They're getting farther and farther and farther away. And I believe in a sense God laughs in the foolishness that is presented as truth today in some parts of the world, in some circles. And I'm thankful today. I believe what our old brethren were believing when I came into the church, and many years before that, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and there you are. And He spoke it into existence. And all of that shows in what we see, the world speaks to that truth, doesn't it? When you look at this world and all that it is, all the systems, all the cycles, and all the things speak to the wonderful truth of God's creation. He says, the Lord preserveth, He takes care of, and He will keep the simple. He said, I was brought low, and He has helped me. Be thankful when you're brought low. I'm glad the Lord knocked the stuffing out of me. Are you glad He knocked it out of you? Are you glad that old arrogant, puffed up character that I hope you used to be has been... I know it still rises up some and says, well, you're getting kind of hard, Brother Gary. No, that's the truth. We all got that old nature in us. And I'll tell you what that nature is. It's puffed up. And when a puffed up thing hears that he's puffed up, he doesn't like to hear it. She doesn't like to hear it. But the Bible will tell you that you're puffed up. And the Lord, when He opens you to that, you realize, oh, I've been puffed up. And He brings you low. Isn't it wonderful when He brings you low? Because at that point, you become a hearer. At that point, you become a learner. At that point, you begin to see really light. You get out of the dark. You know, it's a foolish thing for someone all puffed up when he thinks he's something, when he's nothing. It's a foolish character who thinks he's something when he's nothing. And all, if we can all remember this, we're nothing but by the grace of God. Jesus said to his disciples, without me, ye can do nothing. And then again, with him, we're made to be kings and priests unto God. Isn't that a glorious thing? You are a holy nation, a peculiar people, a purchased people. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, which means you're kings and you're priests. And you got something to offer. You got things to conquer. You got bears to come your way. You got lions that you're going to face. You got Goliaths. You got Red Seas to cross. You've got all kinds of things to face that are in our lives. And when we get to those places and we go, how are we going to make it? Remember, the simple can make it. The high-minded are going to fall. But if we trust in the Lord is our deliverer. Isn't it good to have that kind of deliverer who reaches down to those who can't even reach up and gives us the things we stand in need of? He said, I was brought low and He helped me. He said, return unto thy rest. I'm going to probably just center on this verse and close. He said, return unto thy rest. I want us to return unto that. It's a beautiful statement. Return unto thy rest. You know, sometimes we'll call one another. You might call me and I'll give you a whole laundry list of everything that's going wrong. When I do that, y'all say, return unto your rest, Brother Gary. Return unto your rest. Listen, all of us could give us a list today of things we wish were different. If I asked you all to write it down on a piece of paper, you could probably fill up that sheet and go over to the back and start working on that. You're not going to find your rest in getting rid of the sheet. Y'all know that? You're not going to ever get to where you mark it all off and say, now I got it taken care of. Sometimes we'll say, well, if I could just feel better, then I'd be okay. Well, likelihood is you're not going to feel better, you're going to feel worse. So that isn't good news, no, but it's the truth. This old nature and this old body is not getting better. The knees are not going to get stronger. They're going to grow weaker. The muscles are not going to get better. You have that time in your youth, and those days come and go quick, don't they? You just go like, what happened to them? They're gone in a moment. You're like a flower. You bloom for a little while and then you fade away. But I'm telling you, that little child of grace in his youth can find rest. And that little child of grace in the twilight years can find rest. The same rest is there in the youth as it is there in the twilight years. And whether you're sick, whether you're well, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you have all the things that you think you ought to have or don't, all of those things never will bring you joy. Nobody can get enough money to be happy. Isn't that true? How many people do you know that got so much money and made them miserable rather than happy? And they thought, if I could just get this, if I could just do that, and I'll be happy when I get that. I'll be happy when I retire. You know what I found about retirement? You stay just about as busy as when you're working. And but it's good to be able to rest. I'm thankful for that. Physical rest is important, but more important is spiritual rest. Hear me. You can return unto that rest. When are you having that rest? When you're trusting in God. When your faith is in Him. When your eyes are upon Him. When you're listening to Him. That is where you take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you shall find rest. There's a given rest that He's given us in the new birth. He said, come unto me all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a rest that comes in trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal things. There's also a found rest in the affairs of your life that you find every day when you go walking and you follow God's Word. Have you found out God's Word works? You put it to active in your home, it'll work. You put it active when you're raising your kids, it'll work. You put it active on the job, it'll work. You put it into place. Don't just put it on the shelf in your home and occasionally open it up and dust it off. Read it, feed on it, learn it. Put it in your hearts and meditate upon it. And then when you go out into this world, with little Sister Sarah, I was trying to talk with her, and about the only thing I could really reach her with was when we started talking about the Scripture and spiritual things. And when you repeated those things to her, she was able to repeat them back. I know a whole lot of other stuff was mixed in with it, but it sure seemed good to have an avenue to connect with someone who was so troubled. I'm telling you, it's real. Do you hear me? It's real. And you see the evidence of that. It's a real rest. It's not what you get on a Hallmark card. It's what's found in God's Word. And it's rest that'll be good, that is good for God's little children, and it's found in Jesus. Return unto thy rest. So when y'all hear me scratching my head and worried about this and that, just said, Brother Gary, return unto your rest. I'm going to try to do it with you too. Return unto thy rest. He says, oh my soul, listen, that's the born again little child of grace. My soul returns to the rest. The body might be aching, but my soul is resting. I might have all kinds of trouble, but my soul is resting. That is what the hymn writer meant in that hymn. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well. And he returned unto his rest. When is it well with my soul? When I'm resting in the truth of God's Word. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. And as a reason, get this. And we're going to close with this. I might get to the end and say, praise ye the Lord. But that's always good to close with. He says, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Has the Lord dealt bountifully with you? Has He? Has He been good to you? Just count them. All the blessings God's just given you. Blessings of your family. Blessings of your children. Blessings of your church family. Blessings that He's given us here in time. Let me say this. When you start counting this up, it's going to get bigger than you can handle. This began a long time before you and I were ever born. Even before the very foundation of the world, God dealt bountifully with us. When He saw us in our fallen state in His foreknowledge and took us out of that and placed us in His chosen family by election. He dealt bountifully with us when He elected us. God dealt bountifully with us when He sent His Son to save us. God dealt bountifully with us when Jesus was born in a manger and He lived His life. God dealt bountifully with us when Jesus died on the cross and paid the sin debt. God dealt bountifully for us when He took our dead soul and gave it life in the work of the new birth. And He changed you and made you a new creature. God dealt bountifully with us, and He's going to deal bountifully with us one day when we leave this world and He carries us home to be with Him. Listen, every day God deals bountifully with His children. He has done it in the past. You know what's wonderful about God? What He did in the past? He does every day. He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. So when you get to looking at that big list that I talked about a minute ago, remember, God's dealt bountifully with me. And you start thinking about that list. I'm telling you, every time you really think about that, you return to your rest, what the Lord's done good, that list is going to always and be a lot longer. And as a matter of fact, I don't believe we'll know all about that list until after a while. Now, I think Sister Betty today understands stuff she didn't understand last week. I believe she understands how wonderful the Lord has dealt bountifully with her. And she's really able, enabled, made able to praise Him like she was designed to do. Oh, she did it here in part, but now she's doing it in full. And we are doing it in part. May we do it better and better until the Lord comes. He said, "Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." And if I read 8 and 9, we'll be here for a little while longer. And we need to stop. The land of the living. I believe we're in the land of the living, Brother Bob. I believe we're enjoying that today. I believe the Lord has brought us out of a dead world and given us life in Christ. And we're having fellowship with others who are alive in Christ. And we're walking in the land of the living. But I believe one day we're going to really be in the land of the living. You know, I love to think about the Lord's church and all it means to me here. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place and been a blessing in my life. But it's just a little glimpse of what it's going to be like one day to be with the Lord in heaven. Well, the preachers never preach too long and the pews never too hard and everything is well. What a day that will be when we're with the Lord. May we go out of here today and every day saying, "Praise ye the Lord." When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
Four, seven, one.